Hey, this is Tony Rice here, listening to Verulam Sports. And I tell you what, it's the season of goodwill to all men. But unfortunately, it's been a very controversial week from a football perspective. Once again, racism rears its ugly head. And we're joined on the line by, yet again, the appreciative of his time, Chelsea Football Club's first ever black footballer, Paul Cannonville. Welcome back to Verulam Sports. How are you doing?
Thank you very much.
Hey, Tom Allen, do you know what? Before we get down to the nitty-gritty, first of all, Merry Christmas to you, mate, and to yours as well.
Yes, Merry Christmas to you too, sir.
Hey, Tom Man. Well, like I say, it is the season of goodwill to all men, but lots of controversy surrounding Raheem Sterling, who kind of has this way of evoking controversy, featuring your former club, Chelsea, and obviously four members of that, or supporters, have been banned. Paul, again, ex-Chelsea yourself, does this once again just maybe make us think that after all the progress that has been made, we've just still got this issue in the game that hasn't gone away, really?
First of all, I've got to say how I stayed. I was shocked and deeply upset about the incident that unfolded during the Saturday's match at the Bridge against Raheem Sterling, and a bright, extremely talented young player who remained composed and professional throughout it all. I don't know, really, the situation, if it's the current Brickstick situation that causes this undercurrent that has started to seep in the way back into this beautiful game of ours. It's a shame, and to see racism rear its ugly head at the Bridge, it truly angers me, because I know Chelsea and myself have worked flat out to work out racism, especially, obviously, with my experience given from with Chelsea fans in the past.
I mean, you spoke about that really eloquently last time we spoke. Again, you know, just the sheer kind of vitriol that you received from your own fans. Yeah. Again, it must be just... That was obviously 20-plus years ago. And I do think it's important that we don't lose sight of the great steps that have been done with schemes such as, you know, Kick It Out, etc., etc. People, I think, are more conscious. But every now and again, it just makes us aware that for all the progress made, that we still need to keep raising that bar, don't we?
We do, don't get me wrong. And given the strength that the FA has, don't think it's been... But too much has been done strongly, in my opinion, to be honest. As you just mentioned, Kick It Out and the red card, I don't think have given the strength to obviously do what they can do. This is what we're seeing, and it's creeping back, as I said, slowly, and it's not appreciated, it's not needed. It's the energy given for racism is it's just not on. So it's what we can do. And from my opinion, I think with BT and Sky that the FA can arrange with them to have microphones around the grounds in the Premiership and the Championship, and to hear to those with those abusive, you know what I mean, and shouting, then we can really pick those out. Don't get me wrong, the police and the Chelsea have obviously swiftly dealt with the situation and dealt with those four fans itself, so... It's where we go from here.
And this is it, Paul, this is it. Because sometimes we do need to remember that these things don't actually go away, of progress being made, and it gives actually an opportunity for kind of more open discussions and more considerations. Because, again, what I really want to do with talking to you is highlight and give you a platform to discuss the amazing things you're doing at the grassroots level with the Paul Cannonville Foundation. But just one thing that really strikes me when we're talking racism in football is if you look at just any given weekend on the kind of ratio of black ethnic minority players on a pitch has increased massively, which I think is brilliant, and their spread of skills, you know, I think it's so positive. But then, if you actually look around the four top leagues, there's only 8 black managers. And again, I'm not saying that in and of itself will eradicate things. I'm simply saying that yet more, needs to be done, because surely, you know, there must be so many talented players who could offer so much at management level. You look at Darren Moore doing it at West Brom, and I just feel surely a little bit more needs to be done in that regard too.
Well, when you mentioned that, we was obviously a discussion about the Rooney Rule that was going to come in, which hasn't arrived and hasn't been set. And as you just mentioned as well, that players of my calibre and race that have not been given the chance to be a coach or be that manager, and we don't know why. This is the situation. Why is that? That's been so influenced in the game of football in years, that they have the experience, have their coaching badges, have their UEFA badges, and still not given the chance. Why is that? That is a big question.
It's a fundamental question, one I wish I had the answer for.
Exactly.
I've got to tell you, personally, I'm not pro a Rooney Rule, because I think sometimes that can lead to kind of frustrations the other way, and I sometimes feel as though that almost becomes counterproductive, but that's a long discussion, merely my opinion only. What I do genuinely passionately believe in is that there are an unbelievable number of highly skilled, very astute players of black and ethnic origin in the game who have that wealth of knowledge, expertise, and I'm sure that if they were given chances at that management level, will definitely add flavour to the game in much the same way as they have on the pitch. We'll learn and listen as to how that why question gets answered in the coming future. For now, though, Paul,
because I quite agree, don't get me wrong, this is the discussion amongst my peers and amongst my team, well, colleagues, and we discuss this and we can't seem to come up with the answer. Why is it that we're not to be given a chance? But hopefully something will come about, you know what I mean? But obviously what's on everybody's tip of the tongue is there's about the creeping of this racism coming back in again. It's the amount of work that's been done, and when I say this, racist comments in a place open as a place of community, unity, it sends a double standard message to young people, especially the ones coming through the Paul Canavan Foundation that teaches resilience and patience and understanding. It's like saying work hard, go the distance, rise to the top, no matter and how hard we work, how high we reach in our careers. There will always be someone who hates you because of the colour of your skin. So how do we move forward?
It's the absolute question. But, Paul, as an idealist myself, I passionately believe that it's through posing these why questions, that having this again for a moment negatively in the spotlight will, if we handle it intelligently, enable positive moves to develop. That is my utter belief. And I passionately believe, Paul, things like your own Paul Canavan Foundation at that very grassroots level is how cultures over time evolve. Tell me a little bit more about it. How can we learn about it? What are the big things being achieved? What are your hopes for it in 2019?
Well, big things are coming. Don't get me wrong, so we'll discuss more, but with my team that we connect with the FA, we're connecting with the PFA as well, and we're working on projects that will hopefully arise and help these youngsters. It's not a downhill struggle. Believe me, we can proceed and we can succeed if we're given the commitment and given the support, and that's from everybody. And that's when I say everybody, from the professional players of today itself, they can mean a lot as well, don't get me wrong. So hopefully you'll see the best that comes out. Moving forward, that's my opinion. The FA, if we link up, most definitely, and this is what we can stand with the Paul Canavan Foundation. So
And what I'm really appreciative, we've been really lucky to talk to yourself, Paul, to get to know Michael Wallace and the awesome team at Kickoff at Three, is that there are so many individual entities doing amazing, amazing things, but it's when they unite as partners
yes.
that true momentum gets built and real, genuine progress gets built and developed. Okay. Again, Paul, just remind us about your foundation, how we can learn more, get involved with it, and help you be a true, bona fide force for good, as you just quite simply have been.
Check out www.paulcanavalfoundation.com. You'll see all the details and what we're doing and what we're seeking to do for the future and for next year. And it's going to look good. I'm looking forward to it every year, every day, to be honest. And, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Working with these kids and these youth is a highlight for me and my career, obviously. So, yeah, Michael, down at Kickoff. Yeah, 3 years, most definitely. We're going to combine, to working together. So most definitely look out for that.
Do you know what? It's all good. And like I say, there are so many. This is my big thing, you see. Whenever there's this negativity in the news, there's one or two ways that it can go. And I fear sometimes that it kind of leads to yet more hate.
Yes.
But I truly believe that we're smart enough now to kind of take it the other way and say, look, this is here. It's never really gone away. Let's move on. Because for goodness sake, Paul, you know, you are it. There are so many people doing amazing things. And it is through that that needs to be highlighted that over time, perspective shift. And that's... my absolute passionate belief.
Thank you very much in that. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Hey, well, listen, matey, I wish you nothing but the best. Remind us in closing, please, once again, how to learn more about the awesome Paul Canavale Foundation.
Check out www.thepaulcanavalefoundation.com for all information and what we do. Please contact us. You know what I mean? And definitely look out for us. We'd be there doing what we can do for the youngsters of today and today's future, most definitely.
Paul, you're a top, top man. Listen, have yourself a great rest of the day. Have a great Christmas. I look forward to hooking up with you 2019 in what I pray will be a big and better one for us all as a human race.
Thank you very much. I look forward to talking to you soon.